All right, we're going to get started in a few minutes. I'd say ladies and gentlemen, but what did you guys scare all the women off? What the hell happened? Oh, I thought they were all PLs. So basically, all the women in this floor are PLs, except for one, and they're bossing you around. I've been married for 21 years, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just tell you, get used to that one. How long have you been married, Charlie?
I have no idea.
Okay, that'll happen too. You'll just completely forget.
6 years.
We haven't started recording yet, but this is going to be a live recording of Consilience with Pete and Charlie. It's a weekly podcast that shows up on Tumblr, and where do we put this thing?
iTunes, Stitcher, all those places.
No, but what's the main place where we park it?
Libsyn.
So it's on Libsyn, and actually on the poster outside, you can see where you can actually record this. This is probably the only time you will actually hear faculty and staff here at Georgia Tech use the F word, so it should be good.
It's not going to happen. I'm not doing it.
What?
You're too hot.
That's what my wife said.
Yeah, right.
All right, I'm one, right?
Bring it down.
I'm bringing it down. Bring it down.
There you go.
Okay, are you too hot?
I am not. I'm not.
I think you're a rather comely gentleman. I think that's an unfair characterization.
Okay. Pete and I are doing a sound check. And now the sound
is checked. And who's our mic wrangler?
Jennifer is our mic wrangler.
Jennifer, can you talk into that microphone?
Is it on?
It should be on.
Hello? Oh, it's on.
Okay, we're hearing it. Okay, so that's going to be for the Q&A for you guys to ask us any and all questions about the freshman year. Come on in. Grab a seat. We don't bite. Well, Charlie does sometimes, but...
Only at home.
Only when he was an undergraduate here in this very institution.
Are we going to start, or are we going to just pretend it hasn't started yet?
We can do whatever you
want. Ah, who turned on the lights?
Consilience with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie. The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this. I'm like a roach running away.
He sleeps in a box during the day.
Okay.
In soil from his native land. What is your native land?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe Canada?
All right, we can go ahead and kick this thing off while people are getting extra food. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a live taping of Consilience. It's a weekly podcast on, what do you always say, on the unity of knowledge.
Consilience is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
With Pete and Charlie, I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
We should start by introducing ourselves.
This is Pete. Pete Ludovis, Dr. Pete, is a PhD in something. What are you a PhD
Chemical
in?
Engineering.
That's right. He's a professor here. He leads the Center for Academic Enrichment, and he is also a professional stand-up comic.
So how many of you folks are chemical engineers?
That's the only laugh.
Most people laugh
so far
at the chemical engineering part, not the stand-up comedy part. That's the weird part. How many folks are majoring in chemical engineering? Anyone at all?
No chemical engineers.
Okay, so that's a good thing. Had you actually been majoring in chemical engineering, you might have had me for anything from, stop fiddling with my mic, you know, I hate that.
Just don't eat it.
Senior design, unit operations lab, numerical methods, those sorts of things. So I actually do teach chemical engineering here at Georgia Tech. Charlie Bennett was an undergraduate here. He barely remembers getting his degree in economics and then went on to getting a degree in STAC.
That's right.
Which is science, technology, and culture.
And I actually lived in room 322 or 324. I can't remember.
That's all a blur to him now.
But in 1991, I moved into Smith Hall, third floor, just down the way. So
if the room smells bad, you know why.
Clearly not my fault anymore. Although the whole building smells kind of the same as it did when I moved in.
And what would that be? Like feet?
Like boys, mostly.
Okay. Yeah. Ladies, have you noticed that? Does it smell? So my daughter lived here during the summer program. Her name's Miranda, in case you want to torment her on campus. She's a biomedical engineering major.
So happy you did that.
Yeah, she's going to hate me for that. But I do make fun of her on stage in front of hundreds of people when I'm touring on the road. So that works out well for me. She moved on to Cloudman.
You didn't finish my intro, man.
I think that was, oh, okay.
What do I do now?
Okay, what do you do now?
After my degrees.
Now he is a, dare I say it, librarian.
I am. Our professions, are getting laughs.
This will happen to you too someday. You'll get a job. You'll feel real good about it. High self-esteem.
No one will care.
What? We don't call Charlie a librarian. We call him a
warrior king
of the library. Charlie is also the faculty advisor to WREK Radio. He does a number of shows there. Just the two. Well, is
a jazz
two
shift.
A number? Okay. But the most famous one, of course, would
two
be
is a number.
Fridays at noon, Lost in the Stacks, the world's first and only research library rock and roll radio show.
Oh, you did it. That's great. Right.
So me, I'm Wednesdays at noon.
Pete has a radio show, too.
It's a weekly show on science and technology called Inside the Black Box, and the motto is Science Only Funnier. Who was your last guest on?
Does anyone in here know who Ian MacKay is? Yeah, see, the demographics of our show might skew a little older. Does anybody know what Fugazi is? Fugazi? Good, that's one.
It's an Italian touring
sedan. Stop it. It's a band that was really, really good. So I talked to Ian MacKay from Fugazi today. That's our citizen archiving show. And tomorrow our show is with Colin McKellar, who is one of the guys who helped recover the videotape of the moon landing that got lost. It's a long story, but the short version is NASA didn't think it was all that important, so they taped over the originals.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. There was a camera sitting off the side of the lander filming Neil Armstrong walking down onto the moon, and they just reused the tapes from that signal that came back.
This sounds like a Family Guy episode. Lois, I taped over the moon landing. I can't believe that. This Wednesday, we actually interviewed Dave Garten. Do you guys take any biology classes over the summer? I don't think you do. But Dave Garten is an expert on mollusks. And he talked about a real cool place literally in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's the Palmyra Atoll, where he does research there. And actually, he does a lot of research on like the giant clam. But last time he was out there, he was surrounded by 100 gray reef sharks because they've never seen
people.
It's
terrible, the look on Pete's face when he says the giant clam.
Why is that?
It just is. It's awful.
You're waiting because I want to make a dirty joke.
It's going to hurt me.
But I'm not going to. Okay, so let's dispel a few myths. Yes, the faculty and staff. Somebody asked me this on a summer trip to London. I took students over to University College London, and they said, "What are the faculty like?" I said, "They're just like you. Some of them are quiet, some of them are loud, some of them are nice, some of them are douchebags." I believe I actually used that phrase when I referred to the faculty.
It takes one to know one.
Indeed it does. So we're not all that much different than you. And part of the reason why we're here, and we're hoping you're going to ask questions, we're hoping you're going to overcome this horrible fear of asking questions, is when you guys come in as freshmen, and maybe some of the TLs will back me up on this, you're horrified. Sorry, PLs. There's too many acronyms around here at Georgia Tech. So the Center for Academic Enrichment runs the GT1000 program.
They were called
where
RAs.
Team leaders.
When I moved in, they were RAs.
So you're a PL and a TL. And if you move from here, you'll be an RA. Raw piddle tittle. That's what I'm going to go with. So I find that you guys are just horrified. You just think the faculty are just somehow different, that you can't talk.
We should
to
let
us?
Them you, talk. You tell your story first. What was it like your first semester in school? Where was it, and how did you feel?
I was in a dorm that made this one look like Shangri-La. Ask your parents what food service was like when they went to college.
Tell
right?
them the year.
So I was a freshman in 1980.
Did anyone here even exist in 1980?
Oh, I don't think they did.
No.
Because think about it, my daughter's older than them, and I had my kids late, so it could get ugly.
What's the birth year for freshmen right now? 95 and 96. Wow. So you all came after Kurt Cobain. He just that doesn't matter.
So no Sex Pistols references for you tonight.
No Sex Pistols at all. I was going to do a lot of material about Rush, but maybe I'll just pass on that. Okay. So 1980, you were a freshman.
Right. I was in a dorm that made this look like Shangri-La. Food service was very different. You guys go downstairs, and I know you complain. Over the summer, the variety's a little low. It's a little low. But there was no Caesar salad station or grill station. You have those little flatbread pizzas.
I'm just amazed that there's a restaurant-level kitchen over here with the deep sinks, and there's a serving area, and you know Garrett's
well,
very
proud
of it.
Well, in the old
right
days,
now.
This is all they had. This was it. And this is when they served what they served me when I was a freshman.
I don't think this room looked like this.
Taco casserole. Oh. I went to the University of Illinois, and that's sort of the soybean belt of the world. When they served hamburgers on certain days, you could see the textured vegetable soybean protein in the beef patty. It looked like a steel belt in a tire.
So how did you feel after your first semester of eating soy protein and taking classes in college?
I guess I was terrified when I came in, and then after the first semester. And you guys have a big advantage. This is why my daughter liked the summer program, is you're used to it. You've gotten over the shock. Have you guys gotten over the shock?
No? There's a lot of nods. Maybe.
You kind of know your way around.
A few arm shakes there.
You'll see the freshmen come in, and they just have those bleary-eyed look like a deer in the headlights out in, you know, Colorado or something.
I think
like
the bleary-eyed look comes from 8 o'clock classes. Anybody got one of those? Yeah. Yeah. 8 o'clock classes are bad, especially when they're things like math for management.
Why math for management? Why is that?
I remember like 3 weeks on Venn diagrams. It just went on and on and on. I kind of got it after the first day. Mm-hmm. You know, one circle, two circle, right in the middle. But beyond that, I don't know what else you're going to do with it.
So we're actually using, we're in the middle of a National Science Foundation sponsored study looking at the use of humor in engineering classes. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but we tried to use the 8 o'clock class as the experimental one and the 9:30 class as the control. Couldn't do it. Fundamentally different. The 8 o'clock class is statistically less engaged than the 9:30 class. Nobody cares. They're just like, I want to get out of here. I can't stand it. By 9:30, people are awake, and I have the bar graphs to prove that. Mm-hmm. That's the scary part. So, to be honest, I don't remember a lot about freshman year.
Yeah, I'm maybe trying to come up out, with something about freshman out. Year right now. I don't remember much at all, except I remember that there was a Wendy's across the street, and it was the original location of Juniors, mm-hmm. which I just realized probably people don't remember because there's no more Juniors. And there's
Highland
a hotel.
Highland Bakery now. Highland Bakery.
And the Engineers Bookstore. Has anybody been to the Engineers Bookstore? Yeah, it used to be right across the street here, next to the Wendy's. Before this, before the Olympics came.
What about the pizza sandwich place that was here? What was it called?
Oh, up the way. It was like Jackets or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when my father dropped me off, he gave me some money on the sidewalk, you know, like $20, which was a lot back then. And he said, okay, good luck. Where are you going to eat dinner tonight? And my dad remembers it as me saying, I don't know, like I'm going to die. But I remember it as being, I don't know. I've never been here before. Something amazing is going to happen. Yeah, more laughs from the corner. And I started to explore downtown, you know, for that first week because I wasn't taking any classes. And that was pretty amazing. And then classes started, and I realized I was not prepared at all for college. And I don't think I am still. Yeah, it's been like, how many years? It's been 23 years.
Well, neither one of us are sure what we're going to do when we grow up.
Right, and if I had to take an undergraduate class right now, I think I would die. You know, I could make an 8 o'clock class, though, because I wake up about 5:30 every morning, which is what happens when you have a kid. So be ready for that. And, I never got that sense of freedom and wonder back after the first week. Because I wasn't prepared for classes, because I was terrified of maybe doing something wrong, of not doing school right or not doing classes right or just not being right, not being good at college. Does anybody have that same feeling when they got here? There's one honest person in this room.
Two. We have two.
Two. All right.
Two and a half.
Touching his glasses, building up to... Yeah. It turns out... There's no right way to do school. There's no way that if you are a student that people will be like, this is not how you're supposed to do it. You are using this school to become something, to become more yourself. And it's hard to realize that, I think, especially when there's a Wendy's across the way and you are eating cheeseburgers at 10 o'clock at night every day.
So that's probably one of the things you guys realize when you're here. A lot of people want to put the entire world on online classes, right? Georgia Tech actually got the president of the United States commented on our master's degree in computer science, which is online. None of us believe you should do your master's degree online because you actually have to come to some place, meet people, network, talk to people. I'm an uber nerd. I did my PhD at MIT. Even then, some people thought I was a nerd. But I realized the things I'm not good at. I'm not good at laboratory work. My freshman year, I took an analytical chemistry course, did not do well in the lab.
Hey, is this the time you blew up the polymer?
That's a separate story in graduate school. So if any of you ever go on to take a polymer science course and you learn about the Tramsdorf auto-acceleration effect, trust me, it's real. I blew up a big chunk of the polymer science lab in the Landau building at MIT when I was the TA. And if ever you learn in an engineering class how as systems get bigger and bigger and bigger, the volume goes up as the dimension cubed, right, because it's a volume, and the area for heat transfer goes up as the dimension squared. Two very different scalings. Trust me, we doubled the size of the bulk polystyrene polymerization, and we just blew up tiny little vials that cracked about a 20-gallon mineral bath and spewed it all over the floor. And I'll never forget, I'm standing there with another graduate student, and we have 20 gallons of mineral oil on the floor. The janitor comes in with that little pouch of absorbent stuff you did when somebody threw up in third grade. He walks in, he goes, "Well, better get the squeegee." And yes, he sounded like Scruffy from Futurama when he did that. So,
okay.
Do we want to take questions now that we've shared our experience?
We've shared a small piece of our experience. So, Jennifer, do you still have that microphone?
I do.
Questions, comments, anything at all?
So you're being thrown into this, obviously. I mean, we've just been sitting here talking like crazy bald guys. The questions you ask now could be, they could be rhetorical, or they could be something you actually want to know about what faculty think about students. It could be about school life. It could be about other life. It could be anything you want. And the only rule is, don't be embarrassed to ask a question in front of your peers.
Because you will be in calculus too, right? We're crazy. We actually think that you're afraid to ask us questions, but I've had dozens of students tell me, it's not us.
It's the other students.
It's the other students.
So we had a live podcast down in the Clough Commons, and someone told us, I will never, ever ask a question in class because I don't want to speak up in front of the people that I'm around. And we didn't know how to deal with that because there's no way to – you can't force confidence on students. You can't make them go buy confidence with their clicker. You know, you can't do a midterm check on confidence.
Actually, clickers can suck the confidence right out of you,
I missed clickers. That was good. I never had to do a clicker. Anyway, Jennifer, come on over here.
Okay.
And just kind of look for someone who doesn't look away. And yeah, go at them. Just run and make them ask a question. Is there anybody here whose name you know?
Well, I know
Pia. Well, no, start with them then.
Okay, Rosaria.
I have to ask a question.
Do you have one?
Do you have one?
Jacob has one.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
Well, hopefully about freshman.
Yeah.
No, it can be about anything. Okay. Absolutely. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute. We'll take that challenge.
Yeah, we'll answer anything. And we'll answer
anything.
It honestly. Hey, Jacob, come over here so we can see you. Awesome. All right. Okay, what's your question?
Yes, my question is...
Get right up on that mic.
Are you getting
can you get it? This is good?
Yes.
Okay, my question is about developing relationships with a faculty member during your first year. How can you do that in like a calculus 2 or those lab science courses where they're really big and those are the majority of the classes that they're going to be taking? So how do they try to get that faculty member relationship from the very first year?
So my first question is, are you pre-health?
No.
Okay, that sounds like a pre-health question. Is anyone here pre-health, pre-med, pre-vet, pre-pharmacy?
I see some hands in the back.
So the Center for Academic Success, we do a lot of workshops with them, and you have a whole bunch of very uptight type A personnel. I'm sure you're relaxed, though. I'm sure you're good.
This is actually a really interesting question to me because the supposition of the question is that you should develop a relationship with a faculty member in one of those big lecture classes.
Good point, Charlie.
Are you interested in connecting with the people who are teaching you, or do you happen to be taught by someone who you want to create a relationship with to get to like research lab or something like that?
Probably the latter.
Yeah. So forget about classes. You don't need a class to be an excuse to talk to a professor. You can. Are you uncomfortable? You can. You can take that back to Jennifer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Charlie.
You do not have to be in a class to have a relationship with a faculty member. In fact, you should be looking for faculty members who are doing the research that you want to do. You should be looking for folks who are connected to your eventual career or your eventual...
And how do you find those faculty members, Charlie?
Wow. I don't know. How do you want to be found?
I think most people use this newfangled gadget called the internet.
I don't truck with the internet. I don't think it's a useful tool. Yeah, but go to your school page and find... Everybody's got a faculty profile. Anybody who's, you know, worth mm-hmm. it has a faculty profile that talks about the articles that they've done or the people they've worked with or what their research lab... It's okay to laugh. It's all right. The research labs that they're running. And you look for folks who intrigue you, you know? And you don't have to have any skills or knowledge to make that okay to go talk to them, right? Now, I say all that. If you just randomly encounter a faculty member and you're like, hey, I'm interested in what you want to do. I want to talk to you. You will have some people who are like, nah, go talk to my grad students. Do some, you know, I don't need to talk to you. Those people are assholes.
Indeed. All
right? And you should not be scared to find out that someone's an asshole. That just means you know something about them now.
You'll find that out in class. PLs back me up, don't you? I mean, it's yeah. Some people are nice, some people aren't. Yeah. Just like regular people.
And when a faculty member... Go ahead. When a faculty member gives you attitude, it's much more about them than it is about you. So.
And so Charlie's absolutely right. You should find the people that do things that you're interested in. If your particular instructor in a huge class does interesting stuff, go talk to him after class, right? I mean, I think this is written down and somewhere on the internet. Yeah, you don't have to do that. Sit in the front row and bring an apple and
Peter,
raise your hand a lot.
Nothing is written down on the internet.
Well, in terms of bits and bytes and things like that.
You're gonna bit
your bite. I still listen to books on tape.
Did you hear that courtesy laugh
it's through.
Over there?
I appreciate that. I'm hoping for the golf. I'm hoping for the golf clap later in the program. But so one other thing you guys want to think about is going to office hours. We know you don't like going to office hours because that's the badge of failure. And most people here did pretty well in their high school career. You don't want to do that. But when we have students that are here for classes from other schools, I actually taught a number of classes at Spelman and Morehouse. They take a totally different attitude. They actually want their money's worth because they pay a lot more in tuition than you guys actually do. They come to office hours. They have a totally different attitude. They believe that the faculty should be there to help them. We're like the Maytag repairmen during office hours. That's too old of a reference.
That's a way too old reference.
That's they say the Maytag repairman's lonely because the things never break down. So go to them during office hours. But here's the way to get their attention if you're interested in doing research for them. Read one of their papers. When you read it, you will understand very little of it. Most people understand very little of it. Because when we write papers, we're like, well, here's what we found. Let's make it sound really hoity-toity.
You can get away with reading the abstract.
Yeah, read the abstract.
And the conclusion. That is enough. Especially if you're not going to retest the data. Especially if you're not going to try and recreate the experiment.
Right.
Read the abstract. Read the conclusion. And then you kind of know the cocktail party version
and that's what
of
we
what
read
they're trying to do.
When we
oh,
read
God,
papers,
yeah. I've never read a paper. Ever.
You have to
I've
read some, but most of them you read
no,
that.
No, I've never read a paper.
And then write an email and say, well, I read your paper and I thought your research was utterly fascinating. Nothing appeals more to faculty than an appeal to their ego.
You may not want to use that accent.
Yeah, don't sound like Stewie from Family Guy, but in my head, that's what it always sounds like. And the first thing the faculty will do is probably ignore you and not return your email. I know that sounds harsh. But the reference I use for that is my colleague, Dr. Julie Champion, who's a great teacher. She's a terrific researcher. She's the sweetest person on the planet.
How many emails does she get in one day?
Well, you get it to, from students, I don't know, but I'm sure she gets hundreds of emails a day.
Yeah.
I get them from just my Georgia Tech account, and then I have other accounts. And so I'm bad with emails. She's probably good. And even she, I saw the other day.
Let me stop you right there.
What?
Pete is really bad with emails. There are emails from last year that he doesn't know I sent that he still hasn't
answered.
Well,
I read the titles.
No. That's you read the abstract and the conclusion? Yeah, this the email thing, it goes back to, you know, the way someone responds to you is more about them than it is about you, unless you just like say, hey, I like your work. Can we hang out sometime? Check this box. I mean, don't do that, right? But if you send a message and someone doesn't respond, how many times have you just ignored an email? Or how many people in this room has just ignored an email? Yeah. Again, one honest person. Come on. Yeah. You've answered every single email you've ever received.
And put your name and contact information down. That's a real bummer. Because we'll write back and say, who the hell are you? It's tough. So if you get ignored, don't take it personally. Even the nicest faculty here do that because they're very, very busy. Do a follow-up, just a quick follow-up to see if you had a chance to look at this. And by the way, is anyone signed up for GT1000? You're going to do this resume thing. And the resume thing is no longer just a cute little exercise you do. It's important for two reasons. One, when you talk to people about recommendations or research, send your resume. Here's the good news for those of us that are not perfect. You don't have to have a 3.9 average to get a job doing research. Enthusiasm actually counts. Because every faculty here at one time or another, we had a great guy in chemical engineering. I taught him as an undergraduate. He was brilliant. He broke the curve for the graduate students in polymer science. He had a 4.0 average. When he showed up here to do graduate work, I was so jealous that I did not get him in my research group. He was a nightmare as a graduate student. Sometimes the independent research skill is very different than the classroom skill, and faculty know that. So if you're enthusiastic and you've got a lot of passion about it and you took the initiative, you don't have to have the greatest average in the world for someone to think about taking you on doing research.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. And also, as freshmen...
What did I just say?
I'm not moving on yet. I have one more thing. As freshmen, very few freshmen do undergraduate research. Some do, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be looking as freshmen. So go through the internet machine and look at what people's research things are.
Series
and start
of
talking to them. Get the resume ready and then move on it.
All right, Jenner, see if you can find another victim. Awesome.
Okay, how do you write a
get right up there on that mic.
Good. Is it off? Is there a little red dot on the bottom? If you turn it over, press the red button.
Everyone's reminding us never to press the red button.
Oh.
Hello. Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
How do you write a follow-up email without like calling them out for ignoring you?
I have had to write so many follow-up emails recently. Let me.
Because I have to write one soon.
Here, let me
he's going to look one up now.
Okay.
It begins, dear douche monkey. No.
So the thing to do in general with email is to think about how you'd read it if someone sent it to you. Right? That's the first thing. And let's see. What's one that I just sent? Hi, just following up on arranging for a phone interview. I know it's easy to get lost in the email noise. Right? That was something. Now, that sounds a little bit condescending. It sounds like, oh, yeah, I missed your email. But you know what? I got a reply from this person right away, and they apologized to me when I eventually talked to them. Also, sometimes you have to send an email like this. Hi, Emily. Thanks for checking back in. I'm going to meet with Carrie tomorrow and find out who should be working with OIE. That was to an email that said, Hi, Charlie. I hope you're doing well. I haven't heard back from you about these questions, but we've been ramping up for... Anyway, just do it.
A little politeness.
You don't have to add a whole bunch of stuff to it. You don't have to assume that they're going to be offended or anticipate the reasons that they shouldn't be... You know, like... Hey, I'm just following up. I don't want to make you think that you're an asshole because you didn't send me an email back or anything like that, right? You're just saying, hey, just following up because I haven't heard back from you. You know, I hope we can work together, something like that. Yeah.
And if you're polite and a faculty member gets upset because you're following up over one or two ignored emails, you don't want to deal with them.
Yeah. Again, back to the whole says more about them than you. All right, come on over here. Let's grab another person. Find someone who won't meet your gaze and then go after them.
So is everyone looking at me?
No, they're all staring.
But there's got to be questions.
Actually, I saw someone had a question back here. The guy who's sleeping had a question earlier.
Question. question?
Yeah, sure. Okay. See, I was right. Get right up in that mic, dude.
Right up in that mic. Right. Eat the mic.
What's your name?
Russell.
Russell?
Yeah.
Right on the mic, man. Like right here.
Cool. So I'm at the beginning. You said this would be like the only time I hear a faculty member say the F word. So I'm waiting.
Fuck, man. What? You've been dying for that this whole time?
Thank you. That is all.
All right. So he usually bleeps out fuck.
I always bleep
other things in
that's
there.
That's right. Now I have to bleep it out twice. All right. There you go. Are you under the
impression that faculty don't swear?
Okay. That's a question I want to send out. What do you all think of a faculty member? Just pick the one that you've had to deal with in your mind.
We don't like you.
Don't like? Yeah. No, this is...
It's an honest answer. We appreciate that.
Can you tell me why?
We're convinced that you're trying to make our lives miserable.
Yeah. I saw a cartoon recently, and I think I see why, actually. This guy wrote, here's what school's like, and he's fighting, like, moon monsters. Like, it was this big, long webcomic, and it was the battle to get your degree. We want you... to succeed. I taught a GT-1000 class, and every time...
Most faculty do.
Yeah, most faculty. But every time someone didn't turn in an assignment, I was like, oh, come on, man. You just have to write I've made it as easy as possible. And I would send people email, you know, like, hey, I see that you didn't turn in the journal reflection. You know, is everything okay? You doing all right? I mean, I just want it to be a good class. I want it to be the kind of class that I would have taken and enjoyed, you know. Now, so that's one voice was that you hate us.
But I'm just curious. We're making your life miserable. Can you give us an example of something that the faculty do that give you the impression that they want you to suffer?
Well, I feel like a lot of times I hear that they'll say like, "Well, I can't do anything about that," and it's like in direct reference to their class, and I'm like, you're in charge of this class. Like, if anybody can do anything,
can't they do anything about? Can you give me an example? Sounds like they're lying, actually.
I mean, it just has to do with, like, stop lying. Just, like, with, like, I don't know if it was, like, the way they're doing tests or the way they're scheduling their class or, like, something like that. And you'll go and talk to them and you'll go, like, present this situation to them. And they'll be like, I can't do anything about that.
Okay, this is good. Because sometimes it's true. Faculty members can't do anything about some situation because we are very small cogs in a very large machine.
So I'm going to say it now. Shit rolls downhill. Mm-hmm. Did anyone see the movie, what was it, 21, about the MIT blackjack scandal? Faculty cannot act with impunity like that. We couldn't steal the guy's $180,000 and then lie about his assignments and get him kicked off campus. You guys have recourse. Do you realize that?
Every professor has somebody who reviews their syllabi, someone who makes sure that they're doing stuff that's useful to the
department. We have learning outcomes.
Yeah. And they're checking to see how many of you fail. And they're checking to see how many of you get A's and how many just... pass. And if someone is failing too many people, they'll come and talk to them and be like, what is up? You're not teaching them well. You're not assessing them well.
So is it someone who just gave a test and the average out of 100 was like 40? Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
It was a specific... Okay, so for one of
Jennifer doesn't want to tell the story.
No. For one of the classes, it was like we had the worst group member ever. He basically told the professor in front of us. He told the professor in front of the whole group and the professor and said, I'm going to pass this class regardless of what we get on this project, so I don't care how much I contribute. And the professor, like, wouldn't do anything about it. Like, he wouldn't fail the guy or he wouldn't remove us from... He was just like, go work it out.
Go work it out is always the first thing we're supposed to tell you.
Yeah.
But then I warned them. I said, look, if you don't work it out, then there will be meetings with me and it will not be pleasant. And I have kicked people off their senior capstone design group and had them do it themselves. And most of them fail when they do that. So I learned about memes today. This is something I learned from you guys.
You didn't know about memes until today?
Well, I didn't quite. I kind of knew what they were. But a guy named Sam in the Center for Academic Enrichment made that poster with the bumblebee that drank way too much coffee. And he was teaching me all about it. And I have this old... I'll take that challenge. That's my new one now.
It's challenge.
Yeah,
accepted.
That's bad. So they can do something about it, and they can talk to the dean to get guidelines on how to deal with dysfunctional groups.
We went to talk to the dean.
Oh, okay,
but they didn't do anything.
You know, in a way, that sounds bad, that sucks. And I don't want to make excuses for the faculty member.
It sucks.
But a crappy group member is something that you will have to deal with, all of you, more than once.
Did you ignore the group member? Cut him loose like a gangrene appendage. Little serial killer action, kind of. They had a twitch.
Wow. And you went to talk to the dean of students?
No, we didn't talk to. Oh, God, no. I didn't want to bother him.
No, we wanted to talk to the dean of college. Okay. When you're scared of what someone's going to do, especially when violence appears to be something they're going to do, go talk to the dean of students. Don't try to be cool about it. Don't try to be understanding about it. If someone's a danger to you or others, go talk to the office of the dean of students.
So you're on a first-name basis with John Stein?
All right, somebody take that mic away from her.
No, that's cool. So John Stein, our dean of students, is actually a really cool guy, and he and his staff are quite helpful. What do we call him? A small school dean at a big school. Because he's very involved. He's a cool dude.
Go take the mic from Jennifer.
Okay.
Oh, now you're going to have to take the mic from Russell.
Are you getting any level on that mic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, then I need to crank up this.
Right up on the mic, man. Well, now I'm getting nothing in there.
Okay.
It's Pete's fault.
Oh, shall we switch mics?
Yeah,
on?
Yeah. Where's that other mic?
Yeah, grab that other one. All right, we have technical difficulty. Hold for edit. Just push it all the way up. Talking to it, see if it doesn't.
Hello.
Okay, there we go. All
right, the three C's.
Right. So I've heard about like the three C's here: calculus, chemistry, and computing for engineers. And I just wanted to know if you guys have any advice, like, about being successful in those really difficult classes, you know, because I've just heard like nothing but negative things. And like I heard that like freshmen always get the worst professors for like their general weed out classes, you know, things
no,
like
those
that.
Classes are terrible. That's why you feel like you got the terrible professors.
Okay.
There's a lot of really technical information. There's a lot of really uninteresting, you know, memorization that you've got to do. And it sucks. It doesn't feel like learning.
I object to the word memorization.
Well,
I would try to avoid the M word as much as you can.
There's
you have
stuff
to
that
do
you just
some
have
of it.
To know at the end of the class.
Yeah, you have to do some of it, but to the degree that you can, try to understand the concepts. The problem is we don't make that easy. I'm going to tell you right now that the online homework for chemistry and physics sucks. I tutored online physics when I was a student at the University of Illinois, and that was back, we had the world's first touch screens in the 1980s. That was a real big deal. So now, my daughter she's in calculus too. She was doing her homework, and I occasionally help her with that. And the help desk graduate student TAs couldn't get the problem right. They thought she did it right. It wouldn't be accepted by the thing. It kept saying it's wrong. Chemistry's worse. She gave me a chemistry problem once. I couldn't do it. I gave it to my neighbor who's an analytical chemist.
You're still telling him the negative stuff.
Oh, okay. So, so advice to get around that. Don't sweat the online homework. It just has errors in it. So try to learn from it as best you can.
Here's another thing to remember. The only thing those classes have in common is that they're tough and they start with C. You know, that's just a cute thing.
Do you have partners to study with? Do you have friends? Yeah, so find a study group. Find a study group, not just for those, but for every class you have.
Russell, it was just good timing when you said working on that. That was just perfect timing. Yeah.
Went right over my head.
Yeah. Y'all know about EMAG, the physics class, EMAG? Yeah, physics too. So EMAG, and then REMAG, and then 3MAG. Have you all heard of that? Yeah. It doesn't matter what the class starts with. All of these classes are hard. Every single class that is you and 200 of your friends trying to grab onto symbols and concepts is going to be hard. Join forces. Talk to each other. Teach each other the class again. Read the book. Ask questions. And don't be afraid to look a little bit dumb in front of your friends. Because looking dumb is how you find out where your knowledge is failing. And that's how somebody helps you out.
And that finding partners to work with you are especially true in computing. I teach a numerical methods class. And by the way, CS1371 used to be COE1371. One of the guys who designed it was myself. I was actually one of the first people to ever teach that class. They have morphed it way far away from the course we did. It does a lot more of this obscure digital image visualization, which is really, really cool, but will not help you when you have to apply computing down the road. But I tell my students, there will come a point where you look at your code and you have no idea why it doesn't work. Someone else is going to have to look at that code. Mm-hmm. Is that a forbidden interaction in CS1371? Can you let your roommate or somebody look at your code?
What's the honor code say?
You're allowed to do it? Yeah, as long as you turn in your own thing. And, you know, we look for same code, different comments, same code, different variable names. It's not hard to find that. But for you to have someone say, oh, it's an O instead of a zero, one of these stupid things, we have to do it too. I mean, I'll show it to a graduate student or he'll show it to me and we'll be like, what the hell is going on? It gets really, really tough to do that. Here's the other thing. The faculty are sometimes not aware of what you don't know. And I just learned this in the spring semester. I realized in this CS class, where when we designed it, you learned about binary mathematics and you learned about numerical precision and all this stuff. My students didn't know any of that stuff. And luckily, one of them asked the question again. He goes, what's base 2? How many people know what base 2 is? Binary mathematics. Did you learn it in CS1371? Okay, you learned it in high school. Okay.
Because these are some badasses out here.
Right. But a lot of people don't know that. So we thought they did because the original version of that course had it in there. And then it just, okay, we'll throw the CS department under the bus. They morphed it out of the thing. So
this is a really important thing to remember. Pete found out something about the teaching and what his students knew because someone asked a question. Yeah, they had to be brave enough to ask a question in front of everybody. And then the professor realized, oh, I need to go over this material. Yeah. It's not just going to come to you. You're not just going to absorb it and know it. You know, and that's especially with calculus and chemistry. You're not just going to concentrate really hard and get it. Now I understand it. You're going to have to get it and keep going and keep going.
So the best example of that is...
Stop. You.
What's your question?
Yeah.
I don't have a question, though.
I'm sure you do.
Now you're okay. Bullying audience members.
I'm not bullying.
What was it like your freshman year in terms of, like, dealing with the work and stuff?
What was it like my freshman year dealing with the work? I thought it was way too much. But that's because I didn't realize that I had all of this free time, you know?
So do people ever tell you, treat it like a 40-hour-a-week job?
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier for us because we had no World of Warcraft, League of Legends, or Halo 3 or whatever the new one is.
Also, we didn't have to check Facebook all the time.
We did not have Red Bull, but we had Jolt Cola. Does anyone remember that one? I drank a lot of Jolt Cola when I was an undergraduate student.
The work is really tough. It takes a lot of your time. It takes a lot of your mental energy. I think the thing to do is to respect the fact that it is a lot of work and that it's hard. I think everybody here at Georgia Tech kind of had an easy time in high school, or if they had a hard time, they made it a hard time so it would be interesting, right? And then you get here, and suddenly it's the big leagues, and it's also a little bit anonymous sometimes, especially when you're in one of those auditorium calculus classes. You have to respect the fact that it's going to tire you out, that it's going to be hard for you to grasp, that it takes a lot of mental energy to process that stuff, that you got to sleep enough, for your brain to defrag. And do Windows machines still defrag? Okay, cool. For your brain to defrag and for you to get to a place where you're able to do the work again. And it's not will. This is not, I can go farther. I can climb higher. I can be rebuilt if I just work hard enough. It's not. You have to treat yourself right and respect how much effort is going to go into the work you do here. Pete?
I'm also going to say time management is really important because you'll reach the point where you're just completely filled with stuff to do if you respect the work enough to set aside time to study. My favorite example, I was at the pancake breakfast last year. And so they make a lot of the faculty and staff serve pancakes. It's really good. You can walk and say, more syrup. It's the president is actually there. It's pretty
If you see Pete, ask him for his blueberry pancakes. It's amazing.
I'm pushing the blueberry syrup when I'm there. So I was talking to this guy, and I said, so how was your first semester? He said, it was pretty good. You know, I got to repeat physics. I said, oh, did you have a hard time with physics? Well, I missed a test. And I asked him, I said, well, what happened? Because, you know, maybe we could talk to the dean. Maybe there was a medical excuse. Maybe there was an issue. He said, no, I just missed it. I didn't go. And it's not like he overslept. He just never put it on his schedule. So don't do that. Just, you know, make a schedule. We used to give you these big binders, you know,
That's
where you write stuff down.
That's such good advice, Pete.
Does everyone do stuff on – does everyone have their schedule on their cell phone? I'm assuming everyone has a smartphone. They put it on there. I can't live without mine. Although mine's dead, so it's recharging back in my office. But, yeah, just make sure and do that. That's such a simple thing. But you miss one physics test, this guy had to repeat it. So you don't want to do that. No.
Who's got the mic?
I do.
Grab somebody else. The guy who didn't have a question had a really good question. Yeah, you did.
Sounds like
you.
A grunge band from Seattle.
Right now, there's a game of
hot embarrassing question in the 80s. The embarrassing question in the 80s, they used to ask politicians this, was boxers or briefs? Charlie?
Fuck off.
Okay. Get ready. Just kidding.
Didn't you dare us that you said...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it has nothing to do with academics.
That's okay.
Okay.
I shouldn't have prefaced it. I just should have just said it. Okay. Have you had any student come drunk to your class, and what have you done about it?
I've never had a student come...
I have a number of stories in this regard. Please.
But I have had a student come drunk to the radio station, and we had to throw him out immediately. You know, he arrived, and he stank. Oh,
That's an FCC violation.
Yeah, totally. Just so everybody knows, that time when you hid the fact that you were drunk, you didn't. Everybody knows. We had to take him out. We had to just push him physically out of the station and say, you can't be here. You gotta. And he kind of walked off dejected, and then I heard the Charlie Brown music as he walked down the steps. But no, I've only taught a few classes compared to Pete, so I haven't had any real...
Yes.
Bad inside the classroom experience.
And Charlie's right. You usually can't hide it. When students do that in class, I believe they call it flasking it, don't they? I learned that from my students. See, so we learn things from you. That's why teaching is such an interesting career. They call it flasking it. Not only have I had students come drunk to class, I had a PhD student give a weekly seminar update drunk. It was his birthday, and he went out before them, and he admitted it. It was not one of his worst talks, actually. So that was... but I'll be honest with you. You guys are a lot more politically correct than us. I used to drink with faculty members when I was an undergraduate. My equivalent of English 1101, I had a graduate student teach it. He came in every day, used the F word every single day. Was one of the better teachers I had at University of Illinois. He was a very good guy. And he came in one day, and he's just like, yeah, homecoming's coming up, man. Party like nobody's business. Oh, fuck it, you're all freshmen. Yeah, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. I'm just like, dude.
I used to go up to the University of Tennessee in Chattanooga, and I'd be at parties where the guy passing around the joint was an English professor. So that was a very different
Has anyone seen atmosphere. Animal House? That was in the theater when I was in high school. Let's put it that way. But I mean...
No, wait. So why did you want to know?
I don't know.
Did you see somebody drunk in a class?
No.
Okay.
What happened?
No, unless you make a disturbance, I didn't do anything. I'm just like...
What was the... Somebody was asking what happens...
How do you know the faculty's sober? That's a good question. I've seen faculty come to lecture drunk. Yeah. Most of them ended up in rehab.
They're hungover.
Years later.
Oh, hungover faculty. That's terrible.
Really? Can you tell when they're hungover?
No, my person admitted it. Was a PhD student, but it was still the professor.
See, it's
so
always
did that
the
shock
PhD
you?
Students. They're trouble.
No, we saw that coming because it was later in the semester and she was crackhead. Well, not not proven, but
I think the teachable moment from this, what you're saying right now, is that PhD student was, you know, one long meeting and a job interview away from being a professor. That, I mean, there's no magic that transforms you from a PhD student who might be drunk or, you know, very dramatic in the head. And when you become a faculty member, it's just another job. There's not a lot that transforms you.
And by the way, it's a job that you are thoroughly trained for in terms of research, but you are utterly untrained in terms of teaching. The GT1000 instructors get more training in teaching than most of the tenure track faculty members mm-hmm. here. They get bupkis.
Yeah, because they're learning how to teach when they're grad students.
Beware the new professor.
Right. These PhD students, they're doing all of the grind out classes in their discipline at their home institution, and that's their teaching experience. And then they land here. If you ever get a person who it's their first class, they're terrified, you know. They probably are not terrified.
I was absolutely terrified.
Oh, yeah. I'm scared the first day of every class I've ever taught. And I think Pete still gets a little bit weird. Like, when you're wearing briefs, you're good. But boxers...
But I wear boxer briefs. That's the key.
You are an old man. There's a bunch of people hiding on the wall back here. And I think one of you should ask a question. Jennifer, will you go over there and just grab somebody? I can't believe that you are all so uncurious.
We've dealt with booze in class.
You know? I know that you have things that you want to know, and you can ask them.
How was your day?
I had a really terrible day because of Comcast. Yeah. But, you know, it's getting better. This is actually the most fun I've had all day, so... That's nice. Pete, how was your day?
My day was actually pretty good. We've now realized the Center for Academic Enrichment needs its own meme, so we're working on that one.
Do you have your own acronym?
Well, we do, but CAE... So here's the problem, and here's the reason why we like to talk to students, is because we're trying to engage with you. Does anyone even know what the Center for Academic Enrichment does, where it is? No, of course not. Give a crap.
Who's been in the Clough Commons? Okay. So what's around the Starbucks? Just yell some stuff out.
That OIT office.
Okay, yeah. See,
okay.
Pete is actually, his offices are next to the OIT office that's next to Starbucks. So
we're trying to engage with you. We tried to make a poster advertising an event like this that we were going to do. We tried to take Nick Selby's tagline. Do you guys know who Nick Selby is? He's the mechanical engineer guy who said,
right.
You know, sure, we can do that because Georgia Tech wrote that on T-shirts and gave them out for free. We wanted to take the tagline, like a badass, put it on a poster. Communication, but would have gotten your attention? Right, I mean, the bumblebee with the six cups of coffee got your attention because a student came up with that one. But communication said, oh, well, your logo's in the wrong place, and you didn't use old gold instead of buzz gold, and you didn't use the Helvetica new, blah, blah, blah. They put six changes to our thing, and in the end they said, you can't say badass. I'm like, you asshole, why didn't you tell me that at the beginning? So we're trying our best to do edgy things that engage you. They won't even let us say badass because apparently they haven't talked to a college student in 20 years. Mm-hmm. So by the way, we hate the same institutions on campus that you hate. We hate parking too. And in fact, we're going to be back here next week, 7 o'clock, same bat time, same bat channel, with a bunch of the members of the Geekapalooza Comedy Tour. Oh, you'll be getting a fill of my thoughts on parking.
Yeah,
they're horrible to us, too.
That might actually be humor that
yeah.
time.
We'll try.
So people have been a little bit, they've been circling around, I think, they're not asking questions about academics, but, I mean, does anybody have a question about something that's just life?
Living life, trying to survive.
You know, if you have a question about drugs or alcohol or sex or rock and roll...
That was our generation.
I'm sure we all have a friend who knows the answer. Also, just, I mean, if anybody's just worried about something, you know, this is, again, I encourage you to be brave and ask a question you don't know the answer to in front of your peers. You're going to have to do it eventually.
They're still terrified. I can see it.
Laura.
She's like...
There's a lot of action on the other side of the pillar that I can't see.
What do you guys think about Tinder?
Is that one of those sex apps?
Is that something you can buy at 9.5 weeks?
So there was Grindr, right? And that... Wow.
I do know this, that Jerry Seinfeld in the latest issue of Wired Magazine said it's okay to get on Tinder drunk, but I still don't know what it is.
Yeah. So I came to school, obviously, long before, you know.
Was Tinder the rating site?
We carried... You need to stay out of this now. Before that, we all carried around computers in our pockets, right? And before you were able to connect to pretty much anybody anywhere using metadata that described who you were and what you wanted.
I remember, right? Punch cards.
Yeah, right. So from a distance, all of this kind of, you know, put it in like, I am a dude and I like things and I hope you like things too. And then like things pop up and say, yeah, come talk to me. That sounds awesome. But it also sounds like just a recipe for disaster. It sounds like taking every little bit of humanity out of that fear and joy that you get when you meet somebody and when you discover that someone's different from you and that their difference will actually make you more interesting. So that's what I think of Tinder, and I hope that I've got Tinder roughly correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so what is Tinder?
It's a thing, Pete. You put your dick in it. Okay. Do I have any other questions? We can just start talking blue up here.
So I will say this, though, that when Facebook first came out, when you were restricted to your university, right, only people that were alumni got on your university, people didn't realize that 9 times out of 10, the recruiter for Georgia Tech went to Georgia Tech. They looked at your website. I personally know people that lost interviews because their Facebook picture was them in plaid boxer shorts holding a jelly jar full of grain alcohol going, so yeah, you do. So faculty and staff and recruiters do look at Facebook pages and Twitter feeds and things like that.
This is actually a real thing, taking Tinder and Facebook and all that. You all are creating your identity right now, and you're performing it. Who has a Facebook account? All right. Who has a Twitter account?
Even I have both those, too.
Yeah. Who has a web page that they maintain that's about them?
Oh.
Did someone say MySpace page?
No, my Prism page.
Prism, right on. You are leaving a trail. Everything you do online, everything that you create, you are making yourself, again, an identity that's spread out there into the world. And you're never going to get rid of it, you know? It's like what Eddie Murphy called herpes. It's like luggage. You're just going to carry it, right? Mm. Know that you are not a person who's going to eventually become a grown-up, right? You're a grown-up now. You're in it. This is your world. So take seriously the relationships that you're forming and the things that you say and the person that you're putting out. Sorry to bring everybody down. Want to ask me a question about Tinder again?
We've got a dicey question in the corner.
Okay. So, I like to be pretty, like, out there, you know? I like to dress up in crazy things. Like, I've dressed up like the Mickey Mouse clock. Have you seen the Mickey Mouse clock?
Please. Yeah.
Okay.
The Mickey Mouse, what was the last noun?
Club.
Clock. Club.
Clock.
Clock.
Clock. You know, where Mickey Mouse is like this and he...
Where?
C-L-O-C-K, clock?
No, you need a traditions tour.
The Mickey Mouse clock
on campus.
Yes.
Okay,
yes. Okay, yeah, so I dressed up as that.
So you had the frame of the clock around you also?
It's beautiful.
Okay.
You should see it. And as the rambling wreck and whatever, as a cupcake, you name it.
Was this for Halloween or just on any regular day?
Well,
she likes to be out there.
People. Yeah, but some of them was for Halloween. But you know, I went to class with that.
That's okay.
And one of my professors was the dean of my of industrial design, so it was fine. But this is the thing. I have pictures on Facebook and whatever. Everyone knows me.
All right.
Oh, that's cool.
It's legit, right? The thing is, the question.
We just
and my mom just keeps telling me that I need to grow up.
For the recording, let me just say, they just showed us a picture of her dressed up like the clock, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
Okay.
So my mom keeps saying, like, that I need to grow up. You know?
Okay, there's a very
But this is the thing, like, how do you come across to other people? Like, this immature little child that likes to be dressed up or a really cool person.
So here's the thing you have to remember. Whatever you do, right, if you own it, if it's you, you're grown up. But you have to know that dressing up like a Mickey Mouse clock will make people think things of you, right? Own what you do. We will all be much happier if we just know that what we're doing is what we want to do at the time and that we believe in it. That's the most grown-up thing that you can do. So keep dressing like a clock until you decide that being dressed up like a clock is actively working against you and that you don't want to be a person who does.
To go a little more analytical on that, so I'm reading a book now called Lynchpin about the way we should operate our professional lives and the way we should do startups and everything from research to business. And the days of the Hugh Beaumont and Leave It to Beaver 1950s do what you're told kind of way to do things, it's just gone. It's gone. The world wants creative, artistic people. And I say creative and artistic even if you're a mechanical or a chemical engineer. You have to be thinking outside the box, and that requires a certain level of that sort of thing. So before I came here, I worked for a startup company where people acted crazy all the time, and academics is like that. Ironically, academics is where creative people do wacky things. Georgia Tech is an outlier. If you take the combination of a university in the South and a technical university, so that means us and like Texas Tech, Caltech doesn't count because California's way out there. It's really crazy. If you go to Berkeley, 10 times as many people have blue hair in Berkeley, California, and that includes the faculty. It's really strange to go to a meeting out there. So you're fighting against this at Georgia Tech because we're very conservative, but it's a good fight. So keep it up. Bye.
So we're pretty much out of time. This is your last chance to ask a question. Does anybody have a last one, a tag that we can put on this podcast? Oh, yeah, right on.
I mean, we're old. Nothing is going to embarrass us.
I don't think it's on. Is the switch all the way pushed all the way up?
Yeah, I put it down.
Everybody wants to turn the mic off when they're done, I guess.
All the way up.
Yeah,
there we go.
All right.
Hit so, this I don't know if this will apply to anyone else, but like in high school, I did a lot of film, and like I filmed all the football games and like did the news every day. And I was wondering if you guys knew any like organization or
Buzz thing. Studios.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Do you know those folks?
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
And is that it?
Can you tell us about Buzz Studios?
Well, I mean, there's a group of filmmakers who created Buzz Studios, and they actually shot films that. They send into Campus Movie Fest, but also there's a couple. Siddharth Kantamneni, he won the Emerging Cinematographers Award just recently, and he was a Buzz Studios guy. So you can find them and kind of indulge the artistic side of things, but also the Georgia Tech Cable Network always needs folks who are willing to do the technical work.
And they are very talented at editing, filming. They get to work with, I didn't get a chance to set it up, they get to work with $6,000 cameras like that. And they're working with us to take a safety video from the police department and turn it into the Delta video, where they do the announcement and then they do a funny joke. That's what we're trying to do now.
So are you just hoping to find like-minded folks? Yeah. Buzz Studios and the Georgia Tech Cable Network.
WREK, if you're interested in broadcasting. Does everyone know we're getting a new director of the Center of the Arts? She starts in, I think she technically starts in September, because I've been trying to get her to get on Mahara and start a website.
Oh, right. Mahara, mahara.gotech.edu. Jump on that.
Our first year reading program is no longer reading a book. It's reading a short piece about digital identity and getting on this website to interact with faculty and stuff like that. Because we realize at Georgia Tech, people don't want to read an entire book because it's boring and you don't have time to do it. Because what were we, last out of 1,400 schools for rating a reasonable workload? You haven't seen that, haven't seen that rating. You want to take a look at that. But we're much more artistic and outside the box. I mean, we have an improv troupe, in case you're interested in that. If you go to humor.gatech.edu/geekapalooza, which ought to be up on that thing, there's a code for it as well. The folks that will be back here next week, provided they're available, will be students, alumni, and faculty who do stand-up comedy. We're doing Dragon Con next month. We did the Sweetwater 420 Festival. We did the American Nuclear Society. And Jamie told a really filthy joke. We'll probably never be asked back there. And by the way, if you think we're bad this week, next week, there's no constraints on that.
Yeah, they're going to cut loose.
They'll tell whatever joke they want. So there is something artistic for you to find, whether it's music or plays or poetry. And we have it. Just Google it or find it out. Or send us an email. We'll point you in the right direction.
Whatever your passion is, whatever the craft is that you want to get good at, there's going to be somebody else here who does that.
And what's your major, by the way? Computer science. So I believe that that creative stuff that you do makes you a better computer scientist, biochemist, pre-med major, you know, aeronautical engineer as well. Yeah.
And if you look into the digital media program, there'll be a lot of like-minded folks. Okay. Clock on the wall says 8:05. That's Georgia Tech time.
Indeed.
Last thought for summer students?
It's not as bad as it's going to seem in September. Let me just put it that way. I know I was kind of a downer, like saying, oh, if you think that's bad, look at this study. There's a reason why we're here getting... I could double my salary by moving to North Dakota and fracking for natural gas. I could do that next week. The reason I'm still here is because I enjoy this open interaction of young people learning, and I learn as much from you guys as you do from me.
Okay. That's really nice and sweet.
It's actually true.
Yeah. Always go to class. It's so much easier if you go to every class. And remember that we're all here to help you. The whole point of us is to make your education go better and be more effective, even if we're giving you a test that you don't like. All right, close it up.
Thanks, folks.
This is Consilience with Pete and Charlie, a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
The unity of knowledge. I always like to say that part.
You can find us on Facebook, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can always get in touch with me or Pete if you look on Twitter and other social media.
And can't you also find us on Tumblr at peteandcharlie.tumblr.com?
Thank you.